That's why it's important, I think, for people to be in the house of the Lord. I really believe that. It's important for people to be in the house of the Lord. To what? To expose yourself to the light. Now, you could expose yourself to the light at home in your devotion. Oh, yeah, that's fine. But you come. And you come to a place where the man of God, where the word is being preached, the man of God is breaking down the word of God. And that light shines on you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Introduction to Deity. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Introduction to Deity.
We are continuing in our series in the Gospel of John. That we started, and I just want to say that as you receive these notes, you may notice that it's a lot of information in there, and so my goal one day is to do a commentary on the book of John, so you are getting the notes for free. You know, when the book comes out, you know, it's probably going to be about $50. So if you come, you'll get the notes. Now, I do want to say that, you know, we don't want you to use this as a reason not to come, but, you know, the notes will be on the website. So if for some reason you can't make it here on a Sunday morning, you can go to the website and get the notes. Also, those of you who are able to get us, I was talking to several people this week, and our church services are broadcast throughout the week. And so, you know, now again, you know, we want you to come here, right? You know, we want you to come here. We don't want you to go, we don't want you to fellowship with Pastor Pillow and Reverend Sheets at Bedside Baptist. We want you to come and fellowship with us here. But we let you know that there, you know, that the services are broadcast throughout the week. The title of our series is Close Encounters with God. Close encounters with God. And we are looking at how Jesus is God in the flesh and how he came to earth and had encounters with individuals along the way. Now, this week we're going to be doing an introduction to deity. The introduction to deity in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We see that the author of the Gospel of John, we went over all this last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it today. But the author is the Apostle John. And we say, because the author is not identified in the book of John. If you read through the book of John, nowhere does it say that John wrote it. So we have to go to other evidence. But one of the key things is it's said to be written by the disciple who Jesus loved. And we know that that was the Apostle John. And so there are some other reasons why we believe that John wrote it also. The date of the writing is between 85 and 90 A.D. There are some that believe in an earlier date before the destruction of Jerusalem, and they'll date it before A.D. 70, but most conservative scholars date it between 85 and 90 A.D. The structure of the Gospel of John. If you grab what I'm getting ready to say, then you will grab the structure, the outline of the Gospel of John. You'll see right in the middle, there's a blue line that comes right down the middle of this chart. And on the left side of the chart would be John chapter 1 through John chapter 12. John chapter 1 through John chapter 12. And we see, as far as the timeline of John chapter 1 through 12, that's 3 years. Now, on the other side of the chart, chapter 13 through 21, that's only a few days. So John takes the first half of his book, and he takes 3 years describing the things that Jesus did, you know, the work of John the Baptist, Jesus ministering to the masses. That was 3 years. His audience, he had a public ministry in the first half of the Gospel of John. But we see in the last part, then he moves to a private ministry of a few days. It's kind of like he's spending the last days with the troops before he leaves them. And so those are a few days, and Jesus has private ministry mainly to his disciples. The place, the first part of the Gospel of John is in northern Israel, around the Sea of Galilee. Again, the last chapters 13 through 21, Jesus moves south to Jerusalem, and there, the last few days, he stayed at Jerusalem. The ministry that Jesus had in the first 13 or 12 chapters, he did a lot of miracles, right? He turned water into wine. He healed the impotent man. He healed the blind man. He was able to raise Lazarus from the dead. So he did a lot of signs and wonders in the first 12 chapters. But the last half of the book, he moves from signs and wonders, and he starts delivering messages. You know, that's where we have some of the most powerful teachings of Jesus, when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, where he talked about, I am the true vine. And he taught, you know, a lot of people think that when we say the Lord's Prayer, that, you know, our Father would art in heaven. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That was the prayer for the disciples. If you want to see the Lord's Prayer, John 17. So we see in the last half of the book, it was laden with messages. And we pointed out last week that the purpose, you know, a lot of books in the Bible, there are 66 books in the Bible, and you may have to read through the whole book to try to find out the purpose of why it was written. It's interesting. John leaves us not to guessing, not to try to figure it out, but in John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, John tells us the purpose that he wrote his book. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have eternal life. He gives you the reason why he wrote the book. Now, this is interesting, but I taught on this last week and got in depth last week. But let me just say, as you look at the Gospels, that each Gospel writer had a different audience that he was writing to, and he also had a different focus. But if you look at the red, Matthew's message was Jesus as the Messiah or Jesus as the King, and he was primarily writing to a Jewish audience. Mark presented Jesus as the servant, and he mainly wrote to Gentiles, specifically the Romans. Luke presented Jesus as the perfect man, and he was writing to Greeks. But notice John. John is writing to everybody, right? Jews and Gentiles. And what's John's presentation of Christ? He's presenting Christ as God. He said, this is God who has come to earth. And so that's the focus of John's gospel. And so now we want to talk today about close encounters with deity and the introduction of deity. But before we do that, let me share a couple more things, if you'll go ahead. Remember last week we talked about this, that belief that Jesus is God is dwindling. You know, as you go through each generation, people that believe that Jesus is God gets less and less and less. So I did another graph, and this graph shows you how that, you know, the elders and, you know, those would be the people before the baby boomers, and how that they, you know, the consensus was about 62% of them believed that Jesus was God. But now when you move down, you're further and further and further, and where we are at today, that people, it's less than 60%, 58% of people that believe that Jesus is God. And so when we talk about Jesus, we got to be careful and make sure that we're talking about the same Jesus, right? Because a lot of people talk about Jesus. I don't know how many people I've run into that say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Now, you probably run. I believe. And then so automatically we think that we got a natural connection with them, right? Well, hey, they believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But sometimes we're not talking about the same Jesus, right? And so Jehovah Witnesses say he's a God. And Muslims say he is a prophet. And some in Judaism believe that he was a martyr, that he died for a good cause. And the Unification Church believes that he was a perfect man. Let me take you back to the Council of Nicaea in 325. And this is what they determined. They said, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, true God of true God, not made of one substance with the Father. So that's the Council of Nicaea. Now let me share with you the Council of William R. Glaze. The Council of William R. Glaze said, in relationship to position, he is co-equal with the Father. In relationship to substance, he is co-essence with the Father. And in relationship to time, he is co-eternal with the Father. And so Jesus is no less God than God himself. And again, if we don't believe that Jesus is God, and as I said, there's a slide away from this whole concept that he is, but if we don't believe that Jesus is God, then he can't be your Savior. Because only God, only a perfect God could die for your sins. Only a perfect God could come and live a perfect life and die on the cross and your sins be atoned for. And so Jesus is God. And I know there may be some of you sitting here today and you're struggling with that. I know that there are people that struggle with the whole idea. Man, how in the world can you say that Jesus is God? Well, your argument is not with me. It's with the Bible. Because the Bible makes it clear. And notice that how does John present Jesus? John presents Jesus as what? As God, right? Okay, Matthew as king, Luke as servant, right? Man, thank you. Mark as servant, and John as God. So look at this now. This will blow your mind, right? John presents Jesus as God. The first 14 verses of his book, he establishes the fact that Jesus is God. He said, John is basically saying, look, I'm not even going to write a gospel. I'm not even going to move any further until I establish the fact that Jesus is God. And so that's what we want to look at today. And so first of all, we see in John chapter 1 and verse 1, the announcement of deity. The announcement of deity. Look at verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so John says he uses the word logos, and this word logos means the divine embodiment of who God is. And so John is saying, in the beginning was the Logos, the embodiment of God through Jesus Christ. In the beginning, he announces what? The eternal Word. And notice this, that when he says in the beginning, he's not talking about Genesis, right? He's not talking about Genesis. See, we can get confused as Jehovah Witnesses want us to think, and that Jesus is a created being, and that he came into existence at creation. No, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, was the Logos, was Jesus Christ. And notice that the Word, the Logos, the embodiment of God, a little bit later on, it said that Jesus has manifested the Father, and that means that he exegeted the Father. That if you look at Jesus, you see the Father. You see who God is. And so the second thing we see is the announcement of the Logos, of Christ in fellowship in the Trinity. In the beginning was the Word, was the Logos, was the embodiment of God. In the beginning was the Word. Watch this now. And the Word was what? With God. With God. I like that word with. It comes from the Greek word pros. And you know what it means? It means face to face. That whenever, and you know, you want something that will cause you to blow your mind. That you will have you will short circuit your brain. If you try to figure out when God and Jesus got started. Right? One night, I was laying in bed. I don't know why I was thinking this. I said, how did God get here? How did God get here? And I came up with the answer. And the answer is, another God put him here. I said, okay, all right, I'll buy that. I said, well, how did that God get there? Well, another God put him there, right? And so you can see that line of reasoning became faulty very quickly, right? It became faulty very, very quickly. And so as I lay there, the only conclusion that I had to come to is that God has always been. He has, there never was a time when God was not. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 90, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That there's never been a time that God has not been here. You know, you have to have an uncaused first cause. Oh, I'm getting deep there. I know I got deep there on you. I know I got deep there on you. All right, I know I got deep. Let's slow it down. Slow it down. All right. What I mean is that you got to have something that got here, that's here, that's always been here, right? Common sense tells you this, and I'm not a scientist, but common sense will tell you this. You can't get something out of nothing. And you, Billy Preston, put it this way. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You can't get, so God has always been here. He is the uncaused first cause. And then, as a result of that, he is the cause of everything else, right? So John said, in the beginning. Well, when is that? Well, I don't know. Way back when? So you tell me that there was a start? No, there was no starting point with God. He's always been, right? And the fact that he has always been, Jesus Christ has been face to face with him from eternity past. And notice the announcement of deity, and then finally, the announcement of the divine nature of the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. No, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses want you to believe, right? The Word was a God. As a matter of fact, there's no particle. You know, the particle A is not in the Greek. And so the literal translation in the Greek, and the God was the Word. The God was the Word. Wow. The announcement of deity. You know, one of the things that I enjoyed, that I loved about my trip to Israel is to think that, and I don't know why, somebody asked me why, I couldn't answer this question why, but when God came to earth, he decided to come to Israel. Why? I don't know, God is sovereign, he does what he wants to do. But I remember being on the Sea of Galilee, and as I was on the Sea of Galilee, they began to play this praise and worship music. And I sat there, man, and I just began to weep in my spirit. And then it eventually started trickling down my face because I realized that this is where God walked on the water. This is where God calmed the storm. Jesus Christ is God. And so we have the announcement of deity. The second thing that we see as we look at this are the activities of deity, the activities of deity. And he is active in two areas. He's active in creation, and he's active in salvation. Look what John says here. He says in verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. He was active in creation. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. And as we think about in the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, when God created the heaven and the earth, and then we see all the things that God created. Let me share something with you. Let me share who was there just as active as the Father was. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Look at this. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Christ was active in creation. And you heard the story about the guys that challenged God, the creator of all things, right? Right. The creator of heaven, of earth. They challenged God to a contest. And they said, we can make a man just as good as you can. And so God said, well, let's do it. And so God reached down into the earth, and he created the first man. He blew into him the breath of life, and man became a living being. And so it was man's turn. And man decided he was going to create another man. So he reached down into the dirt, and God said, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. Get your own dirt. Right? Christ created things out of nothing. When there was nothing here, that Christ was active in creation, and all things were created by him. So he was active in creation, but praise God, he was also active in salvation. It says, in him was life. In him was life. Jesus is very life himself. The Greek word there is Zoe. And you know what Zoe means? Spiritual life. That in Christ was spiritual life. Now watch, oh man, watch this. Wow. That before you got saved, you had bios life. That was physical life, right? You had bios, the physical life. But you didn't have Zoe. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and Jesus Christ, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, came into your life, at that very moment, guess what kind of life you got? You got Zoe. You got spiritual life. Why? Because in him was life. That if you have Jesus, you have spiritual life. If you're sitting here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you might have a spirit, you might be a spiritual person, but you know what? You don't have spiritual life. Because the only way you can have spiritual life is to have Jesus residing in you. And when Jesus resides in you, then you have spiritual life. Because in him was life. And notice this, that this life was the light of men. Look at your notes. Look at.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Introduction to Deity. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Introduction to Deity, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to Deity. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Introduction to Deity. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org and or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that will remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.